Friday in a little over 4 weeks, and we celebrate Easter on Resurrection Sunday. I just felt in my spirit it was important to really go after what God loves most, and that is humanity. He loves humanity. And I invite you to open up your Bibles to Matthew 24 and Genesis chapter 3. Matthew 24, Genesis chapter 3, and we'll be looking at several other scriptures. So with this thought in mind, I've entitled this particular message, Part 1. Check it out. God lost something, and He wants it back. God lost something, and He wants it back. The fact is, my friends, there's great turmoil in our world today. You don't need me to tell you that. But we don't put our heads in the sand. There's great turmoil in our country. And there truly is, I believe, a fight between good and evil. We can see the signs of the Lord's soon return. How soon is it coming? Not ours to be concerned about. We're simply called to live ready. Someone say, live ready. Jesus explains the events that will happen and are happening even right now at this very moment. Matthew 24, begin reading at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. There's a great deception out there. Right now, the deceiver is roaming about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said, see to it that you're not deceived, for many will come in my name saying that I am the Christ and will deceive many. That word many in the Greek means the majority, by the way. Means majority. Doesn't mean a few. Jesus said in Matthew 7 or 5, I can't remember exactly, he said, I'm paraphrasing, the road to hell is wide and many go thereby. But the pathway to heaven is narrow, few find it. Jesus said, many will be deceived. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you're not troubled. In other words, don't get freaked out. Don't worry about it. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then you will be delivered to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. My name's sake. I'd rather be hated for naming the name of Jesus versus being a knothead, being a goofball, professing one thing and living another. And many will be offended. Boy, is that spirit of offense all over the world, especially here in America. Many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. I believe that I've given it a name. I don't know. It's just the spirit of the cancel culture is really causing this to manifest in like we've never seen before. Offended. I've never once been offended. I'm just going to say it. And Mr. Potato Head. Or Dr. Seuss. It's never crossed my mind. Never even thought about it. But this is the craziness. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel of this kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Not even cancel culture is going to stop the preaching of the gospel. Someone say amen. Amen. Verse 33 of Matthew 24. So you also, when you see all these things, know that the end is near. It's at the door. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready. Someone say, live ready. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. My friends, the good news is this. Heaven was made for mankind to dwell with the Lord forever. That's why God made heaven. For mankind to dwell forever. But when Adam and Eve sinned against God, mankind began playing this game of hide and seek from day one. Hiding from God. And this is why Jesus, the Son of Man, came into our broken world. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And so God lost something, and He wants it back, and He wants it back right now. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve were given everything they could possibly have wanted. But how many know that the flesh, left unchecked, wants more? I got to have more. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want, I need, I want it all. I deserve it. That's what the flesh does when it's left unchecked. So God gave man everything he could possibly have wanted, but they disobeyed God's command to them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when God said don't eat, it was for their own good. For their own protection. Remember we talked about 1 John chapter 3 that God's great love always protects, always disciplines, and always corrects. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. And so now, man, Adam and Eve, are in deep shame. And folks, that's exactly what sin does. It causes us to be condemned if we don't take care of it. Adam and Eve knew that they were wrong, but check this out. God came looking for them anyway. I love this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It said that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, look at this, hid themselves. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden. Look at this. And I was afraid. So they hid themselves and now they're running in fear. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. This was the fall of man. Therefore, because of man's sin, man invited, God didn't do it, man invited sickness, death, poverty, and destruction into our world. God didn't do it. Man made a choice. Hold your place here. We don't have to go there. I'll go there real quick for you, but write it down. Romans chapter 5. Romans, the 5th chapter. I love what Paul wrote in verse 19. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so also one man's obedience, Jesus, many were made righteous. And in all of this, God gave mankind the one thing that he would never, ever take from them, and that was the power of choice. He never would take it from them. He gave them the choice to choose between right, wrong, good, bad, to accept him on his terms or reject him. It's been said that the most powerful force on planet Earth isn't God's great love. It's man's choice. I watch people every day reject the gift of salvation. They choose to reject. And so the core problem with humanity is that we have chosen to run away from God. And that's exactly what sin and shame does to people who are deceived by Satan. Satan deceives them. They choose to run from God instead of running to God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm still running towards God. Anybody with me? Anybody with me today? How many are running towards God? Man and woman, because of their choice, hid themselves. But notice this, God came looking for them. And so this really sums up all of life. Check it out. Man hiding, God searching. Man hiding, God searching. He lost something, my friends, and God desperately wants it back. Peter writes this in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter the 3rd chapter. Peter writes in verse 8, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but here it is, he's long-suffering." That is, excuse me, God is being extraordinarily patient with mankind. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, my beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found blameless and spotless in him, and consider that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation." You know what? God was the very first missionary to come looking for mankind. Man was lost, but God came searching. And you know what? God doesn't need a GPS or a Find Your Friend app to find you or locate your friends. But he also made, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, he also made the very first promise of the ultimate rescue mission to save mankind. And that was going to come through suffering, my friends, suffering. Genesis 3, verse 11. "And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat from? Then the man said," check it out, this is what sin does, "the woman whom you gave me, she gave me to eat, and I ate." There lies the problem with man. We play the blame game. Adam started right, as soon as they disobeyed, man, they opened up the door for sin to come into our world, crashing into our world. And the first thing they do, or the second thing after they hid themselves, running from God, they start blaming one another. The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me." Remember, some of you probably won't remember, but the old Flip Wilson show? Remember Flip Wilson? "The devil made me do it." Remember that? Here's Eve. "The devil made me do it." Wait a minute. God gave mankind a choice. The power to choose. And so the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than any of the cattle, more than any beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust." I love it. God said, "Eat dust, man. And I will put enmity, hostility, anger, dislike between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Capital S-E-E-D. Her seed would be the Son of God. And he shall bruise your head. A better translation says, and he shall bust your head. And you shall bruise his heel. And so God, what does he do? He takes away their leaves and he clothed them with animal skins. This means that an animal had to die so that Adam and Eve could be clothed and continue to live. And this is a picture of what Jesus and why Jesus came to the world. In the midst of man's sin, God made the very first sacrifice as an illustration of his ultimate sacrifice, his son Jesus, to go to the cross for you and me and for mankind. I love what Bob Sorge wrote in his recent book, The Cross. I encourage you to get that book, The Cross. He said this, "The cross is the stent at the heart of our faith." I have a stent in here, in the left ventricle, the widow maker. That stent saved my life. When I think about this, the cross is the stent at the heart of our faith. Discard the cross and you may as well chuck your Bible and pitch your faith. Toss the cross and you jettison Jesus. No cross, no Jesus. But receive it and you get all of God. You get all of God. You get his salvation, his healing, his deliverance, his love, his peace, his joy. He gives you purpose for living on planet Earth. God lost something, and he wants it found. And so the rest of the Bible tells the story of God seeking and saving lost humanity. No matter how many times man has rebelled against God, spurned his correction, rejected his love, rejected his correction. The Bible echoes this theme over and over and over again towards humanity, and that is God's great love towards us. 1 John, if you'll turn there, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John, the fourth chapter. The Apostle John writes in verse 9, "In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be our propitiation, our covering for our sins." I love what he says in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." Jesus is ruling this earth today. Someone say amen. Amen. "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests." Next week we're going to be talking about that. He made you and I, as his followers, kings and priest, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And so at the heart of the Bible, at the heart of the cross, my friends, there is this central theme that God lost something and he wants it back. He wants it back. God's great love compels him to continue this search. And best of all, my friends, check this out. He wants you and I to be on the search and rescue operation. He's called you to be on his team. And I want to leave with you two simple ways that you can be on Team Jesus. Is there anybody in the house that wants to be on Team Jesus today? I said, is there anybody in the house that wants to be on Team Jesus? Now watch this. You can choose to, and I'm just going to, listen, I'm getting too old to play patty cakes with people today. We've had enough gospel in our world to be shoved down the throat of a rhinoceros, and even they won't choke on it. Okay? So, I'm just going to say, man, can I just be real? This half-hearted living for Jesus will get you killed before your time. Half-hearted living for Jesus don't cut it anymore, my friends. We just read it. He's at the door. And He's long-suffering. But long-suffering will run out one day for all of us. For all of humanity. When Jesus comes back, it's over. There's no second chance. There's no going back to say, I wish I would have listened to Pastor Tommy. Or Pastor Mark. I wish I would have raised my hand and said, yeah, I want to be on Team Jesus that day when they gave that invitation. But it's too late, Jack. So, just like Pastor Tommy, we're going to bring it real. How many want to be on Team Jesus today? Someone say amen. Here we go. Two simple ways. Number one. In order to be on Team Jesus and be a part of the rescue operation, you yourself must come out of hiding and allow the Holy Spirit. I call Him, someone else coined this phrase, the Hound of Heaven, to flood your heart, to overwhelm you with His unconditional love. I think many people live this half, I know I did, live this half-hearted, one foot in the world, one foot with Jesus, thinking we're all good. We got it together because we don't totally understand God's unconditional love. We don't fully understand what He did at the cross of Calvary for us. You must accept, my friends, the finished work of the cross by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can do, nothing you can say, no good deed that you possibly could do to cause God to love you anymore. He's given His all through His Son Jesus. He loves you in spite of your sin and my sin. Even when I blow it, come here. I'll choose someone a little taller. Amen. Come here, buddy. And more hair. Listen, it doesn't come on up here, brother. Yeah, I chose him because he's a big guy. And we think we have big problems in our life. And the sin that's in my life is too big for God to forgive and that He really loves me. And so what happens is we go into hiding when we blow it. When God's saying, this is God here now, this is me all messed up, God's arms are wide open. This big God, the God of the universe, with His arms wide open, stretched out on the cross, is saying, Mark, come to me. See, now that Bob, that's not Jesus. Amen. But He's coming at me. Meanwhile, I can't forgive myself. I'm hiding. I'm like, God, no. No, Lord. But His love is reaching out. He's saying, come out of hiding. Come on. And when I finally get it, I just melt in His arms. Father, forgive me. And that, see, the world says, well, you got to prove yourself. But the Father says, I already proved myself at the cross of Calvary. Mwah! I love this guy. Notice I didn't kiss him on the lips. Come on now. You got to come out of hiding. You want to be on Team Jesus? You got to get out of hiding. Quit running. Stand up. Admit your mistakes. Listen, coming together like the ladies did yesterday. Just, that's church. They're out in the antique malls, out in the restaurants, and they're having church together. And Jill came home so refreshed and so excited. And I'm like, oh, man, this is wonderful. I kept looking at my watch. When's she coming home, man? I miss her already. I'm like, come on, man. So the women coming together, band of brothers coming together. This is why it's critical to come out of hiding, because we can't do it alone. Can't do it alone. If you think you can, you are what Jesus talked about, being one of the deceived. You're deceived. So if you're going to be on the special ops unit for Jesus, you got to come out of hiding. Quit hiding. God loves you. Settle it. Settle it. Doesn't matter what you've done. Settle it. I've blown it. That's why I love Pastor Tommy. I like hanging around him because he's transparent. Learned a long time ago. People that, I'm not even going to go there. Forget it. Not even going to say it. Listen. Learning to receive God's love and loving Him in return is the very first commandment. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You got to come out of hiding. Remember 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. We've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. I'm going to read it out of the message. It says this. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We are called the children of God. God calls you. You've named Jesus as your Savior and Lord. He says, you're my child. Come on out of hiding. Stay out of hiding. That's why I think part of the problem is a huge problem in America. The church has been in hiding. We forgot that God lost something and He wants it back. And He wants it back right now. And He uses mankind in the process. So number one, you got to come out of hiding. Number two, to be on Team Jesus and be part of the rescue operation, here it is, real simple. You must join the team. You have to join the team. Nobody can join for you. I was very privileged to be one of the, in the first year, 1975, one of the first all-volunteer army. 1975. I didn't get drafted. I joined. I said, I wanted to be a part. I had to make that. My dad couldn't make that choice for me. My dad spent 37 years in the Army. I worshipped him in his uniform. And especially when he was with the Green Berets. But listen, that was him. I had to do it myself. I had to join myself. In order to be a part of the special operation unit, you got to join. You got to be a part. You got to volunteer. Now, I know I say there's no volunteers in God's army. And that's true. When you say yes to Jesus, you raise your right hand, give your heart to Him. God drafted you for an assignment on planet Earth. And part of that assignment is to be on the rescue team. Rescuing mankind from lostness. So I love the Air Force. Air Force have one of their special operations unit. They're called PJs, parajumpers. These guys, their specialty is to skydive from 25,000 feet plus into enemy territory and rescue downed pilots and crews. Do you know what their motto is? So that others may live. So that others may live. They're willing to risk it all. Dive out the back end of a C-17 at 25,000 feet in the middle of the night. Sometimes it's into water. And they do this so that others may live. God rescued you and I, my friends, so that you and I could fulfill the second part of the greatest commandment, and that's this: to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what it's all about. Our neighbors as ourselves. It's just not the person living next door to us. It's the people who rub us the wrong way. It's the people that, I'm just going to say it, people in Washington that set policies that just fry my brain, but I got to love them and pray for them anyway so that others may live. Because I used to think just like they think. But God changed something. Come here, brother. And it all changed the day Jesus went to the cross. And the Father had him stretch his arms out this wide so that he could love someone like me. And that he could love someone like you. So that now he's in me, I can go and love others like the Father. Now you get somebody. I like that, man. Feels like sandpaper there. Amen. Amen. Folks, listen. God lost something, and He wants it back. Next week, we're going to take a look at what it means to be a king or a priest. How we can apply that to our life. But the first and foremost thing is that we got to get on mission as believers. Jill and I on the way to church today, I'm just going to say it. I appreciate Zoom. I appreciate Facebook Live. I do. And I'm just not going to receive this whole mentality, and it might be. But I believe God's people are or that God's doing something in the body of Christ today. Statistics show that 25% of the church will not come back even after COVID disappears. Not going to come back to the house of God. They prefer online. I don't get it. Jesus was always about relationship. And so, I'm going to be challenging people. Come out of hiding. How can you love people online? When people need prayer? It's technology. We can see it. Praise God. But the reality is somebody's got to come out of hiding. How many want to be that today? You say, man, I want to be on Team Jesus. I want to be one of those PJs. Hallelujah. Parajumpers. Oh, a PJJ. Parajumper. Praise God. Parajumper for Jesus. Amen. A parajumper for Jesus. I'm going to parachute in wherever the situation looks bleak and dark, and I want to be there as a light for Jesus. Are you hearing that today? Are you seeing that today? It's so simple. Let's stand to our feet as we close in prayer. You say, Pastor Mark, I want to be a PJ for Jesus. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Oh, this isn't an emotional thing. This is a life and death thing, my friends. Hallelujah. Father, we you locate us today. Lord, we're coming out of hiding. Even those online, God. Father, help them, Lord God, to come out of hiding. Jesus, you showed us in your word today that even though we're messed up, even though the world's coming to an end, you're still searching. And Lord, we want to be on that search and rescue team. So Lord, use us today. As we lift our hands to you, God, we surrender that to you. We're coming out of hiding and we're joining the team. Use us out in the fields, God. Out where the harvest is. In the restaurants. In the grocery stores. In the schools, God. In our workplace, God. In our neighborhood, God. Use us out there, God, to be those PJs, to parachute in with Jesus, to show up and show off your great love for humanity. Father, use us in any way you deem necessary, God. And we thank you for the opportunity. And while I don't want to ever end a service, as Pastor Tommy does, if there's anyone here today, you say, Pastor Mark, I want to either rededicate my life to Jesus today, or I've never met Jesus and I want to know him as Savior and Lord. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up and I'm going to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else, say, Pastor Mark, pray for me. Pray for me. Use me. Thank you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. I want us as a church to pray this. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great love. And I believe that you demonstrated your love through your Son Jesus. And I receive you, Jesus, into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And help me, Lord, to be used by you. I'm coming out of hiding, Jesus. And my life belongs to you. In Jesus' name. Someone say amen and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Next week, part two. Listen, we're on a journey to the cross.